Welcome to Polishing the Badge, bringing you real-life stories and career memories from dedicated law enforcement officers who have proudly served their communities. Here's your host, former police chief Mark Spahn.
In 1984, serial killer Christopher Wilder, dubbed the Beauty Queen Killer, was traveling throughout the United States, from Florida to California, to Texas, Kansas, Nevada, Rochester, New York, and Massachusetts. The number of homicides he committed is unknown, but there are 24 attributed to him. Wilder had just made the FBI's most wanted list when he drove toward Wenham, Massachusetts, searching for his next victim, and he found her in a broken-down car on the side of the highway. But it would be this young woman's tenacity that saved her own life and helped police to find him. Joining me is a friend and colleague, Peter Carnes. He was the chief of police of the Wenham, Massachusetts Police Department, located between Boston and Gloucester.
8:30 one morning, the typical small-town police department, you're all doing your roll call, and we receive a call, a 911 call, for a woman screaming in the area of a college. It's a Christian college in the community. It was not uncommon to receive a call for noise or people screaming or whatever around a college campus. I mean, it goes on all the time with kids having a great time. And officer was dispatched, and he got to the scene of where the call came after the woman screaming, and he called back and he requested a backup because he noticed in the roadway when he pulled up to the area a pair of women's shoes in the road. He started canvassing the area, and quickly another 911 call came in that reporting a hysterical female was banging on someone's door. Officer Dave Doyle immediately got to the scene and made contact with this woman. This woman was driving on the highway on Route 128, which was a four-lane divided highway, and her car became disabled. And she pulled over to the side of the highway in the breakdown lane and was awaiting some assistance, and this car pulled up with it was a Firebird back in the day, and gentleman offered her assistance and said, do you have a garage or a mechanic that takes care of your vehicle? And she replied, yes. And he said, well, let me drive you there. Is it nearby? And, oh, yes. So she got in the car with him. And this was Christopher Wilder, the serial killer. They drove along for about probably half a mile to an exit ramp. And she explained the location of her garage, which was to the right. And Wilder started turning the vehicle to the left.
This is where everything changed for this young woman. Until this point, she thought she was being helped by a good Samaritan after her car broke down. But when the man went in the opposite direction of where she said her mechanic was, her instincts kicked in. She knew the supposed Samaritan was not taking her for help.
And she immediately tried to jump out of the car while it was moving on the off-ramp, and probably doing 5 to 10 miles an hour. As she did that, he picked up a .357 Magnum and put it to her head, and she jumped from the vehicle, and Wilder took off. Wilder switched lanes on the highway instead of going northbound where he picked the woman up. He resumed traveling on 128 in the southbound lane, and he immediately traveled through the city of Beverly, which is the next area, next contiguous community to Wenham, where I was chief. And he got on Route 93 and started heading north out of Massachusetts towards New Hampshire.
Chief Carnes said at the time of the incident, they thought they were dealing with an attempted kidnapping and an assault and battery with a firearm. Because of the seriousness of that crime, Wenham police enlisted the tools of the day, teletype messages and radio broadcasts for the suspect and vehicle. A Boston TV news station picked up on the activity and called the police department and said they were sending a team. Shelby Scott was the Channel 4 TV reporter, well known in the greater Boston area.
I knew Shelby personally, and I was able to meet with her for a couple of minutes as we brought the victim back to the station. And she said to me, Peter, do you think this could be Christopher Wilder? And I go, who is Christopher Wilder? So I have a Boston area television reporter telling me who this individual was. She said, yeah, he's come across the country, and we've heard in the media circles that he's probably going to be soon to be added to the FBI most wanted list. And I was shocked. I had no knowledge of him. I was, frankly, a little bit embarrassed that a reporter is telling me about a wanted individual. He was a race car enthusiast, a wealthy individual. I think his roots were in Australia. When he came across the country from the West Coast to the East Coast, he had picked up women at different locations, fairly attractive male. I think he was probably early 30s or whatever. And he'd wind up taking them to motels, and in the motel, he engaged in some activities there and wound up murdering these females. Usually they were women from 20 to 35 years of age. He was just a very sadistic killer. And he was not really under the microscope for a long period of time. It just, all of a sudden, it all fit together for the FBI and other agencies across the country that this is the target, this is the person they're looking for. So at that time, we did an identikit, which was the way of drawing a sketch of a person. That was a system by which you put templates on different types of other templates to draw the face and draw whether any features, nose, size, mustache. So we did the identikit with one of our detectives, and lo and behold, the picture came out, and by that time we had, from the FBI, we had a wanted poster, and it was an identical resemblance to Christopher Wilder. So the broadcasts went out, the information went out through New England, description of the vehicle, description of Wilder, the fact that he was armed and dangerous in the area, attempted an abduction, specifically information was put out to be on the lookout, not only for him, but also for any victims that might be potentially in his way.
Wilder sometimes drugged his victims and sexually assaulted them before beating, electrocuting, stabbing, strangling, or shooting them. One of Chief Karn's concerns at the time was that the abduction happened right near a college, and they didn't know if the suspect was still on or near the campus.
Across the street from where this victim was abducted in Wenham was, as I described earlier, a college. And that college had about 2,000 students. And typical college, probably 50% of the students were co-eds. And we immediately had to set up a law enforcement perimeter on that campus to search the interior of the campus, but also be concerned about the exterior perimeter, make sure, A, if Wilder was still in the area, he was not getting in there. And second of all, if he was in the area and tried to get out, that we'd be able to apprehend him. So there was a lot of moving parts in this case at the time. And in a small police department, our resources were taxed. We had the cooperation of the major crime unit of the Mass State Police. The local barracks at the time for the Mass State Police was in Peabody, Massachusetts. They dispatched troopers to the area. And there was a massive search for the vehicle, the Firebird, that Wilder was operating.
In addition to the state police assisting Wenham police in searching the college, all enforcement agencies throughout Massachusetts and in neighboring states were alerted to be on the lookout for Wilder and his Pontiac Firebird.
About 2 hours later, in northern New Hampshire, two state troopers who were in plain clothes went by a gas station and saw the Firebird in question that had been the subject of the New England-wide search for Christopher Wilder. And the two troopers exited the vehicle, and as they approached the vehicle, Wilder drew his .357 Magnum. And he, at the time, was cornered by the two troopers in the gas station area. And I'm unclear whether he shot himself or he shot at the troopers first, but he did receive a abdominal wound, an extensive abdominal wound. And there was some thought that round that he fired into himself exited his body, exited his car, and impacted one of the two New Hampshire state troopers who was critically wounded, but he was able to survive the injury. We think he was panicked after that woman jumped out of the car that, you know, he thought the end was near. And that was the end of Christopher Wilder's travel across the country because he died from his injuries at the gas station. And any investigator, I don't care where you are, whether it's local, state, federal, a lot of times you really feel for the victims and you somehow you get re-energized, you work harder, you work longer, you take a lot of the extra steps to solve the case or work with the the victim. And this particular woman, I remember vividly. She talked about her faith and how her life was spared that day. And it was amazing watching this. And the other thing, which was amazing, in this very traumatic few moments of her life, that she really looked at this person and looked at the gun, and she was able to describe the weapon. She was able to describe him physically. And it was just so efficient. And we heard from her for, you know, several years thereafter. And, you know, we're talking many years later now, and I have not had any contact with her. I don't know where she is. I hope she's well. I hope she's successful. And she was a very brave soul on that day in the 1980s in Wenham. And to have the foresight to jump out of that car when she did. And we were proud and we were honored to work with her.
Chief Carnes will never forget the details of that fateful day in 1984, especially the courage of the young woman who not only survived an attack by a vicious serial killer, but who helped police identify and locate the man.
You've been listening to Polishing the Badge with Chief Mark Spahn. Share your story with us at info@spahngroup.com.